You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, we will be discussing senior fraud with Stephen Lair, franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care of Chapel Hill. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to be here.
This is a really important topic, and I'm very happy that we're going to be discussing this because I think it impacts everybody in the United States, let alone this area. And you brought with you some of the top 10 things that people don't know about senior fraud but probably should, and some things that people really need to think about. And so I thought I'd highlight those. You're talking about that there are telemarketing scams that include internet, phones, and mail. Seniors need to watch out for fake charities, certain sweepstakes, healthcare fraud, identity theft, financial exploitation, this Nigerian letter fraud that we've often heard about. And then also, there's a few more that I know you definitely want to expand on, which are crimes of occasion, crimes of desperation, and crimes of predation. Could you expand on those?
Oh, man, we've got so many resources that I'd love to expand on. It's a good thing it's a four-hour show because we've got plenty of time. It's an amazingly sad phenomenon, this the plight of seniors that are being victimized. Mm-hmm. There are the more common opportunities for victimization that we see with telemarketing and fake charities. Someone believes that they're doing good, and so they pledge to help a cause, but in reality, about 97% of what they're giving is not really getting to the charity.
Sure.
So the importance of obviously evaluating anybody that you're giving money to, but what we see in our experience and what I'm sure you've seen in your mm-hmm. experience are the really tragic examples of senior fraud where, mm-hmm. Say a spouse loses a loved one.
Yes.
Husband dies and they get a call a week after the funeral because some scammer has seen the obituary mm-hmm. and seen the phrase, leaves behind a loving wife of 65 years and mm-hmm. calls and says, oh, well, we're very sorry that Herman passed away, but he loved you so much that he set up these financial tools to make sure that you were taken care of. And all we need is your account number to make sure that these things are transferred in effectively, that you're taken care of. And it sounds legitimate. She's grieving. She thinks, well, this person obviously knows something about me, so it must be legitimate.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the scammers have the information that they need to take everything that she's got in her most dire hour.
So sad.
I mean, it's just tragic. The Nigerian letter fraud is one that sounds almost comical.
Yes.
I mean, you think, gosh, this really can't be. But for anybody who hasn't heard about it, you get these official-looking letters from the Nigerian State Department mm-hmm. saying that they're trying to transfer money out of the country or something along mm-hmm. those lines and that they just need a small percentage to help with the processing yep. and then you'll be richly rewarded yeah. In your due time. So, I mean, there are so many examples that have been pointed out that I think seniors are especially victim to. The crimes of occasion, predation, and desperation, there was a MetLife study that was done that identified the three different types of fraud that's typically perpetrated against seniors. The crimes of occasion are the occasion just presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we look for in terms of when someone's in the house doing work.
Right. Oh, you need a new roof.
Yeah. They're not necessarily setting out to defraud a senior, mm-hmm. but they happen to be there and mm-hmm. jewelry is left out or cash mm-hmm. is left out or something along those lines where a senior is just not as careful as they really should mm-hmm. be with someone they don't really know.
Sure.
And so those are the crimes of occasion. It's not necessarily somebody who sets out with the intent of defrauding, but it still takes place.
Yeah.
The crimes of desperation, gosh, we've seen this. Sadly, this is typically family and friends.
Yeah.
Somebody who they know.
Especially with the economy that's changed.
Oh, it's horrible.
People are, yeah.
It's horrible. And we see it with, typically it's somebody who is financially relying on mm-hmm. The senior. We've seen it with kids who, every time you go in to visit with this senior, more and more artwork is off the walls. Mm-hmm. Or granny's antique silver collection has now been pawned.
Yep.
Or something along those lines. But the kids feel like in some way that they're entitled to it, that, well, I'm taking care of mom, so she just, she owes this
and
to
I'm
me.
And I'm going to be getting it anyway.
Yeah. And it's really sad to see that happen.
Yeah.
Just because it is. It's coming from the people that you feel like you should be able to trust.
Sure.
And then the crimes of predation, I think, are the ones that people typically think about when they think about senior fraud. These are the folks who set out with the intent of criminalizing a senior, going to their doorstep and saying, oh, well, yeah, there's termite damage, ma'am, and unless you sign up here on the dotted line for $1,000 a month for the next 60
and
years, then your whole house is going to crumble around you and you'll be left destitute. I mean, it's just, it's reprehensible what we see.
So how big of a problem is senior fraud?
I think from a monetary standpoint, the study in 2011 said that annually it's around $1.9 billion that gets taken from seniors in terms of fraud.
Annually.
Annually, which billion is a large number.
It is.
It's almost a punchline of a lot of jokes. You think about Austin Powers and $1 billion.
Yes, wow.
But again, it's a crime that not many people talk about. Because seniors, when they're victimized, they don't tell anybody.
Right.
They don't want anybody to know because they don't want – they're embarrassed about it. They don't want people to look at them and say, well, obviously, mom's not capable of being by herself
anymore. And there's the fear of reprisal.
Absolutely.
Because it's – a lot of times, as you said, it's chances are somebody you know.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen if I tell somebody?
We've got an example of somebody like that who family gardener. I mean, a family gardener, the guy that had been mowing his yard for years and years and years. And we happen to have a caregiver on site and – was noticing that there was a real discrepancy between his means and the amount of money he always seemed to be lacking when they would go grocery shopping. And turns out he was paying him $400 a week to mow his yard.
Jeez.
And it was just little increments over time that built up.
Sickening.
But yet you didn't want to go toe-to-toe with this guy that you'd known for 35 years because, sadly, he's your only friend. He's one of the only people you get to talk to on a day-to-day basis.
That's terrible. So senior fraud, I'm guessing it's not a new problem.
No. This was interesting, doing some research on the Nigerian letter fraud. It actually dates back to the early 1900s to something called the Spanish prisoner fraud, which was apparently the predecessor of the Nigerian letter. You would think when you hear the phrase
the
Spanish
evolution.
Prisoner. Yeah. Obviously, Spanish prisoner leads to Nigerian letter.
Yes.
But it was people would get letters or telegrams saying that a member of the Spanish royal family was being held in prison against their will and that they needed to be bailed out. And if you could help them escape, then you would be richly rewarded. And so it's not a new phenomenon by any far stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't make it any less tragic when it happens.
And why are seniors targeted? I mean, why that group?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions with regards to seniors and regards to why they're targeted. I think when people hear about senior fraud, they think about the senior living by themselves who just doesn't have their wits about them, and so they're not safe to be by themselves. And I just don't find that to be the case. Seniors are just a great opportunity for fraud. If you wanted to get me on the phone and take money from me, good luck.
Yeah.
You're never going to get me on the phone.
Right.
You're never going to find me sitting at home during the middle of the day.
Right.
I'm just not available for that type of fraud.
Sure.
Whereas seniors live their life largely in isolation in many cases. They're available to be reached by phone or in person. They don't have the same network of friends. Like if I made a financial decision, my wife would know about it.
Right.
So if seniors are living by themselves, there's no one to run those things by. And a $25 little fraud becomes a $1,000 mega fraud.
They're a little more isolated,
over a very short period of time.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a short break. I am here today with Stephen Lair, franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care of Chapel Hill, talking about senior fraud, and I'm your host, Nicole Bruno.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Stephen Lair, franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care of Chapel Hill, talking about senior fraud. And we were just talking about some of the big pieces of senior fraud and, you know, the types of senior fraud that exists and the amount of money it costs our society. But what about the common triggers that fraudsters look for?
They're very smart. They're not above strolling through a neighborhood to see who's home. They're not above looking through the obituaries to see who's lost a loved one, as I mentioned before.
Oh, so
they're
going
to look for. Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely deplorable. They're going to look for things like veteran stickers or flags hanging out front because they know that the person who's displaying that maybe has a soft spot for the country, and mm-hmm. they can use that to get in the door. They're going Jeez. To look for a senior who's out doing work on their house during the middle of the day who maybe is mowing the yard at the ripe old age of 90-something and look for an opportunity there. We hear a lot of it in termite and pest inspections where mm-hmm. they'll look for a home that is maybe in slight need of repair, and so they'll go and make some pitch about how the whole house is going to crumble around you if you don't give me X number of thousands of dollars, and then the senior doesn't realize what they've signed, and suddenly they've obligated themselves towards a multitude of different services that they'll just keep showing up and charging your account. So it's there are a bunch of different things that they look for.
There's a new one that I've been hearing on the radio has been the granddaughter that calls, the quote granddaughter that calls, who sure. says she's in trouble. And, you know, can you please give me some money? And it's never the granddaughter that's calling. It's somebody else. And these people are just hands down. They have a soft spot for their grandchildren and will instantly send money to help.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't?
Oh,
who wouldn't?
Gosh.
And you take someone who maybe is a little hard of hearing.
Yeah. You can't tell the difference in the voice.
Grandparents and granddaughters are not always the closest of friends as they maybe
right.
once were. And it sounds legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
She knows enough about me to know that I have a granddaughter whose name is X.
Right.
And so, well, it must be legitimate.
Nice. So what about the impact of crime on older adults? Obviously, there's the financial implications, but what else?
Well, I think a lot of people stop there. They look at it and they think, oh, well, yeah, somebody took all that money from her. How sad.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't really appreciate is in many cases, these are people who are living on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so whereas you and I have the possibility of going out and making that money back,
right.
they don't.
Yep.
And so once money leaves their account, it's gone. They don't have the same wherewithal to be able to go and make that back or mm-hmm. recoup their losses. But I think even more sad is the emotional impact that it takes. We spoke earlier about they won't tell anybody.
Right.
Because they're so afraid of being tossed out of their house.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of seniors just live in fear that their kids are out to get them and throw them into a nursing home.
And, yeah.
and so anything that they feel like is going to make the world look at them as incapable of living their own life, they hide.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a little small crime that becomes a magnificent crime over time because no one's ever told.
Right.
There's something else that comes along those lines that we call vicarious victimization.
Right.
Worry is a very real thing. Anxiety is a very palpable force in someone's life.
Sure.
And you take someone who maybe hasn't been victimized yet but has heard enough about it to be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start living their lives in large part in isolation. They start withdrawing from social circles. They start suffering the effects of the disease before they even get it, so to speak. And so you get people who are no longer able to rest. Their bodies are not able to recover from small little colds and coughs and things like that because of the fact that they're not sleeping well at night or they're not eating well because their stomach's upset because they're so terrified about something that hasn't even happened to them yet.
Sure.
So there's a huge side of senior scam and senior fraud that really has nothing to do with the financial impact, but more of the emotional toll that it takes on seniors over time.
I think it's a bigger piece than the finances for sure.
Mm.
So what about protecting
an older adult and a
loved one? I mean, what can we do? I mean, we've looked at the elephant in the room now, but how do we protect people from that elephant?
That's the red letter question. That's the one. What do we do about all this? Yes, we know it's a big problem. Yes, we know seniors are at risk. Okay, great. Where do I go? How do I get help? I think the biggest thing is get involved in your seniors' lives.
Okay.
Give them that extra set of eyes and ears. That's a big portion of it is when you've got somebody who's in isolation, who doesn't have somebody to look over what's going on, that should raise warning flags.
Mm-hmm.
If your senior starts talking to you about this great new friend that they've met, scammers don't want to be met.
Yeah.
So offer to, hey, I'd love to meet with them.
Right.
Chances are they're not going to want to sit down and chit-chat with you about all the money that they're taking from your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So getting involved in their lives, not in an overbearing,
controlling type
father of a teenage daughter kind of
way,
but more in terms of just having my eyes open and paying attention. There are some tangible things that you can do that make your senior less susceptible, things like buying them a shredder and encouraging them to shred any sort of documents that have information.
Even the junk mail.
Even the junk mail. If it's got your name and maybe the last four digits of your social and your birthday, that's all they need.
Mm-hmm.
any sort of charity or thing like that that you're involved in, going on Better Business Bureau or having someone investigate for it to see if it's a legitimate charity.
Sure.
Everything's on the internet. It's a wonderful and mysterious place, and you can get all kinds of dirt on seemingly good deserving charities. Talking to your seniors about the importance of not giving out information over the phone. Talking to them about getting on the Do Not Call registry.
Mm-hmm.
Being more insistent over the phone. I think that's one thing with seniors in particular. They're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody to talk to.
Yep.
And so
they look
when
forward
someone
to the
calls,
junk mail.
Yeah. Even if it's a telemarketer, they're being friendly and they're being nice and they're listening to what I say. And I don't want to be rude or angry with them.
Right.
So kind of having that pep talk about these people are not as nice as they seem.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that seniors realize that they're being targeted for those kind of things. Paying attention when seniors don't want to tell. That's a big part of it too. When the fraud has already happened, helping them to get the assistance that they need by calling the police, calling the FBI, getting on the website for the Department of Justice.
So these are the pieces. These are the things we need to do if someone's already been scammed.
If someone's been scammed, because you want them to feel confident moving forward. You don't want them to live life continually being victimized in their mind. If someone's been scammed and they're hiding it from everyone around, but their loved one is able to look and say, "Well, gosh, Mom shouldn't be hurting for money. Why are things so tight?" And so I'm going to step into Mom's life and I'm going to gently ask her what's going on. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it seems like somebody's defrauded her. And so I'm going to get her the help she needs so that she feels confident and comfortable living life independently moving forward.
How do you help that person get over that fear of reprisal, though?
That's a tough nut to crack. And each situation is so different. I think— Again,
sometimes these people have nowhere the spare keys are, and that person's still going to live alone after the daughter flies in from another state, and
that's
scary.
That's where having a good community is important, whether it's a church community or something like that, having some sort of outlet where you can get out and talk through some of the feelings and some of the fears that you've got with other people who are also in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I think education is a huge tool, a very powerful tool as far as helping someone feel confident moving forward, not just living life in fear. It's okay. It happened to me. Yes, it did. But I've taken steps. I protected myself, and it won't happen to me again. I think that confidence is in many cases overpowering with regards to the fear that can happen to someone after they've been targeted.
Well, that's a great point. We are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Stephen Lair, franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care of Chapel Hill, talking about senior fraud and prevention. And this is Nicole Bruno, and I'm your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. Thank you.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Stephen Lair, franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care of Chapel Hill, talking about senior fraud and prevention on WCHL, and I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Well, this is a huge topic, this topic of senior fraud and prevention and just the risks and how to handle it. And I know that you've brought with you some really wonderful resources for people to get more information and support. And I think this is just a great thing to spend some time on now, is just to discuss that. So if you want to talk to us about some of your resources, that would be wonderful.
That'd be great. The thing that I'll do is I'll point everyone to a website, which is very easy to remember. It is protectseniorsfromfraud.com. And online, all of the things that we're talking about today are readily available for you to look at. If you're managing care for a loved one who's across the country, you can go there and download all of the different topics that we've been kind of glancing over. Again, I'm glad that it's a four-hour show because there's so much that we can chit-chat about. One of the pieces of information that you'll find there is something that I find to be tremendously helpful. It's called the Criminal Target Scale.
Okay.
And it's basically just a series of questions that help you to envision, okay, is my senior a target? Is the senior loved one in my life a target? And there are things that you don't really think about. Some of them are more obvious. Okay, does my senior live by themselves? Yes. Are they alone for long periods of time, maybe? Do they have a computer? Are they on it every day? Do they like to order things online?
Mm-hmm.
Do they display veteran stickers in their car window or in their house windows? Do they take pain medication and maybe leave it out on the counter?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that that scammers will be paying acute attention to.
Mm.
And so kind of going through that checklist and seeing how many yeses and how many nos you have to be able to look at, okay, what is the level of risk presented in my senior's life?
Sure.
And what are the areas where we really need to address it? Is it mailbox? Do they have a locking mailbox? Do they mail out their bill payments using paper checks where scammers could just run by and grab those paper checks? Do they receive any sort of pension? And does that pension come to that same unlocked mailbox?
Wow.
There are a bunch of different things that you really don't think about.
No.
That, again,
that we
if
all
you're,
do.
Yeah, that we all do. I mean, I mail paper checks from time to time.
Yeah, I know.
but for the majority of us, we're kind of moving away from that paper, paper-driven world and going
seniors
to more everything's
though.
Online, but seniors aren't.
Yeah.
So those are areas where we really need to help them protect themselves. And the neat thing about the resources, it breaks it down into different areas to where you can look at protecting a senior on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at protecting a senior over the telephone.
Sure.
You can look at protecting a senior over the mail. You can look at all the different reasons why seniors are targets, all of these different things to help out the senior in your life so that they're not the next victim in this crime.
Great, great. Any other parting thoughts?
I think my big one is, and you know this from being in this community for a while, but Chapel Hill is a community. And
mm-hmm.
we seem to be this people who have a really strong idea of what that word means.
Sure.
In a way that, not to say anything bad, but Raleigh and Durham, they don't have the same semblance of a community that we do in Chapel Hill. And so if I could encourage any of the listeners to just get involved in your neighbor's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember growing up, Miss Newman was this lady who lived next door to us. And she was, she had to have been 190 years old. but that was part of
so
my brother
seemed.
And I's job was we would look in on Miss Newman.
Yeah.
And we would, if we'd see her out doing yard work, we'd pitch in and help her out.
Sure.
Get involved in their lives. Don't be afraid to strike up a conversation because it may be the only conversation they have all day long.
And if you notice something different—
Absolutely. You could be the angel in their life that helps keep them from becoming the next victim of a crime.
Pop over if there's somebody there you don't recognize. And
absolutely.
Just see
you see a bunch of work trucks out front, ask some questions. You know, why are you getting this done?
Mm-hmm.
You really need your air conditioner fixed in December.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is that? What's going on?
Yeah.
So not being afraid to get involved. I think we tend to be a very isolated society, but we Chapel Hillians are people of a different cloth, cut from a different cloth. And so if we can get involved in the people's lives around us, we can hopefully prevent them from the type of pain that we see other people suffer.
And if people want to get in contact with you for more information, how do they do that?
You can go to our website, which is www.homeinstead.com.
Okay.
Or you can just contact us by phone at 933-3300. But yeah, we're glad to help. And again, our mission is helping people live independently as long as they can. And so protecting them from fraud is a big part of that.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining Stephen and I today as we discussed senior fraud and prevention on WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.